33rd Psalm opens as follows. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skilfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. This is a psalm which begins with a call to praise and to rejoice in the Lord, to praise him with the harp, to sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings, to sing unto him a new song and to play skillfully with a loud noise. It begins with a call to praise, and it goes on to describe why we should praise and sing unto this God. Just who this God is. That he is a righteous God. A just God. A powerful God. An omnipotent God. A God of authority. A God who speaks, and it is done. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. He is a sovereign God, sovereign over all the world. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere, and he sees and hears everything. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men from the place of his habitation. He looketh upon the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. God sees and knows everything. God is a God greater than any. He is a Lord greater than any Lord. He is a king greater than any king. Before him, all are as nothing. In verse 16 we read, there is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. In which the psalmist makes plain that even the mightiest of men, even the most powerful of kings, even those with the most horses and the most strength, before this God are as nothing. You may be a man of power, a great king, who can call to your aid a great host, but before God they can do nothing. Because this God is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He is sovereign and he rules over all. But this righteous, this just, this powerful, this omnipotent, this omnipresent God, this King of Kings, is also a just God and a Saviour. The great call to praise that this psalm brings forth. It's not just because God is great. And that would be reason enough. But this great and this wonderful God is also a merciful, a loving, a gracious God who saves his people from their sins. He is a saviour. He has given wondrously and bountifully to his people. He has delivered them, and he does deliver them. And, O sinner, lost and dead in your sins, this is a God who delivers sinners like you. Behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Are you in famine? Are you starving? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Not for the food of this world, not for the drink of this world. For in these things, perhaps you have plenty. There are those who have little food in this world, and they know what famine is. There are those who find little to drink, and they know what true thirst is, in a natural sense. But the psalmist here speaks of a famine, a thirst, which is greater than this. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty for righteousness? The psalm begins with a call to praise, and it begins with a description of a righteous God, a just God. Are you hungering and thirsting for righteousness, which will help you to stand in the presence of such a God? For without it, your soul is dead. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death. Without righteousness, your soul will die. It is dead. You are dead already in trespasses and sins. The judgment is written upon your head. You have no hope. But if you're to be kept alive in a famine, then you will be taught your hunger, taught your thirst, given a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, the reward of which will be salvation. The reward of which will be that God delivers your soul from death. He brings you to life. He keeps you alive in a famine. He puts faith in your heart, and he will reward that faith by giving you that which you hope for. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Does your soul wait upon the Lord? Does your heart rejoice in him? Have you trusted in his name? Do you hope in God and in his salvation? Where is your faith? In what do you trust, and in what do you hope? Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, but are you righteous? How can you rejoice in the Lord if you're not righteous. You cannot. Which is why you need a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And should God quench your hunger and your thirst? Should he satisfy your hunger and quench your thirst and put faith in your heart to look and to hope in him? Then you, with the righteous, will rejoice in the Lord who delivers his people from their sins. This psalm can be divided into seven sections, a perfect description of God's character and of his gospel and of his salvation. It begins with this call to praise. It follows in verses 4 to 7 with this description of a righteous and a just God. It continues in verses 8 to 11 with this description of his authority, his omnipotence, his power. Continues from verse 12 to verse 15 with his omnipresence, his sovereign rule over this world, his perfect sight and knowledge of all that we are and all that we do. In verses 16 and 17 we see how this God is greater than all kings in this earth and all power below. In verses 18 and 19 we see how this God is a saviour of his people. And finally, in the last three verses from verse 20, we see in saving his people how he is their help and their shield, how he rewards their faith, how his mercy is placed upon them. And in the middle of the psalm, as we read at the beginning, we see his authority. Verse 9, for he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. We have a perfect gospel set before us. A perfect gospel. And it's perfect because its author speaks and it is done, commands and it stands fast. This God, who has chosen to save a people, leaves nothing to chance. There is no uncertainty with him. Nothing is a mere possibility. Salvation and the gospel is not presented to us in the scriptures as something which could come about if we do this, or if we are willing, or if we choose. There is nothing uncertain in the gospel. When God says he will save his people from their sins, he does not mean that he will save whoever chooses to follow him. He does not mean that his people are unknown until they come to him. He does not mean that he will save whoever wills. But he means just what he says. He will save his people from their sins. He has a people whom he has chosen. Chosen before the foundation of the world. Chosen before they were ever brought forth from the womb. Chosen before they were ever born. Chosen before they ever did good or evil, as we read in Romans 9 of Jacob and Esau. Jacob was chosen before he was ever born, before he ever sinned, before he ever rebelled. But despite all that he did when he was born and grew and lived, despite all his rebellion, all his sin, all his deceit, all his subtlety, God chose Jacob, and God blessed Jacob, and God made known his salvation to Jacob, and God delivered Jacob, even though Jacob's will and Jacob's works went the opposite direction. Jacob didn't seek God. Jacob wasn't righteous. And Jacob didn't choose of his own self to follow. God chose Jacob. And God, in time, made Jacob willing. God delivered him. God spake, and it was done. God said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. He spake, and Jacob in time was delivered from all his iniquity. God said, Jacob's mine, Jacob will follow me. Jacob will I wash and cleanse and deliver from his sins. He spake and it was done. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, if you're ever to know what this psalmist speaks of, if you're ever to rejoice in the Lord with the righteous, if you're ever to be rewarded with faith's reward, if you're ever to know the mercy of God, it will be because God has looked upon you and says, you have I loved who hated me. You I will save, though you would not. You will be drawn unto me, though you cared not for me. I have loved thee, and I will deliver thee. He spake, and it was done. No wonder then that the psalmist, who speaks from his own experience, as one like Jacob, who was a rebel before God, as one like you, who cared not for the things of God, as one like you, who was full of sin, and under the wrath of God, and condemned already, heading for hell, as one who found the things of God to be a weariness, as one who found them to stand in his own personal way before his own personal ambitions, as one who by nature shook his fist in God's face. No wonder then the psalmist, as one who had gone far away, but as one who was pursued by God's grace and delivered from his iniquity and delivered from all his enemies and washed clean of his sin and blessed with blessings he could not have ever imagined. No wonder then that the psalmist, having been given a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, having waited for the Lord, and being brought to trust and to hope in him, no wonder then that the psalmist, hungering for righteousness, having righteousness imputed unto him, because of a Saviour who died in his place. No wonder then that the psalmist can open with this call to praise. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harps, sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. Oh, what is the song of your heart? What is the song of your heart? What makes you rejoice? In what do you find pleasure? In what do you find joy? What makes you sing? Does the entertainment and the pleasure of this world make you sing? Do you sing with the wicked? Or has the Lord put a new song in your heart to praise him and his salvation? Has the Lord taught you how righteous, how just, how holy, how wondrous he is. Has he shown you his grace and his mercy? Has he melted your hard heart? So that though you were once set against him, though you once went your own way, now you've found this God whose judgment you felt was against you, whose righteousness you felt laid you in the grave, whose power you felt crushed you. Now you find this God, this powerful God, this sovereign God, this righteous God, to be a wondrously gracious and merciful and loving God to your soul. The word of the Lord is right, and his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Do you feel it? Do you know it? By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Have you heard the word of the Lord? The same word by which he spake and the heavens were made. Has he spoken unto you? Has his speech brought you unto life? Did you hear, as a soul who laid in the grave, the voice of the Son of God? The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and live. Have you heard his voice in the gospel? Has he spoken? Have you lived? That voice of authority, that voice of power, that voice of omnipotence. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Here we have two counsels, two voices, two words, two speech. There's the counsel of the heathen, the advice, the wisdom of this world. What the world would tell you, what the world would teach us, what the world would advise us. The heathen says, go this way, do this, believe this, and you will prosper. But there is another counsel, another wisdom, another speech, another word which says something different. The counsel of the Lord. What voice, what speech, what wisdom do you give heed to? The world says, turn your back upon God. Forget God. Our science, our knowledge says this. We say, the world has always been. We say, millions, billions of years have passed. We say, the world came into being from an explosion by chance. We say you have evolved. We say you will die one day and go back to nothing. We say there is no God. There is no sin. There is no accountability. We say eat, drink and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Live life to the full. Live every day to the max. Make yourself rich. There's happiness in riches. There's happiness in pleasure. There's happiness in doing what you want. We say there is no God. God says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. God says, in the beginning, God. God says that he spake and the world was brought forth. He spake and it was done. God says he spake in 6 days and created all things, man included. God says man rebelled against his maker and sin entered into the heart of man. God says wickedness multiplied upon the face of the earth. God says in the days of Noah that the wickedness that multiplied upon the face of the earth so grieved God that he sent a judgment. He sent a flood. And he slew all men, women and children upon this earth who were full of wickedness and hatred for their maker. He slew them, all except those whom he put into an ark and delivered. And God says that whilst he will not bring judgment in that way, there is judgment to come because of the wickedness of man. That this world will come to a conclusion. That this world will be burnt up with fire. That the heavens will be rolled up like a scroll and the earth will be burnt with fire. And all men, women and children will stand before Almighty God and have to give an account for what they have thought, done and said in their lives. God says that there is none righteous, no, not one. God says that there is none who have sought God. God says that there is none who loves God. God says that we will answer for our sin and our iniquity. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught, those who tell you lies that life is without God, that you can seek pleasure without accountability, that you can turn your back on God and it won't matter. God brings the counsel of the heathen to naught when they say that when you die there's no afterlife, there's no heaven and hell, there's no God before whom you will stand. He brings it to naught because when you die as you will stand before him and you will answer for what you've fought and done. There is a beginning and there is an end. God says that we are dead in trespasses and sins. But God also says that he set his love upon a people, a multitude, the many chosen in his Son, and he sent his Son into this world to deliver that people from their sins, to deliver them from the judgment to come, to deliver them from the wrath to come. God sent his only begotten Son into the world because he loved the world, that he might deliver his people from the condemnation which was already passed. The counsel of the heathen despises his Son. The counsel of the heathen says that Christ was nothing but a teacher. The counsel of the heathen tries to question who Christ was and what he did. The counsel of the heathen says he never rose from the dead, but he did rise from the dead. He did die for his people's sins. He did deliver them and he did rise again victorious. The counsel of the heathen would try to bury it in the midst of time and try to deceive you to turn in your back upon the gospel and the truth of God. The counsel of the heathen says, go this way. And the counsel of the heathen will lead you to destruction. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but it leads to destruction. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. All their building, all their knowledge, all their science, all their inventions, all their devices, all their cunning plans, all their political systems, all their moving towards a world government, all their aim for peace upon this world, and all their hatred of God and his people and of righteousness and judgment, all their devices are brought to none effect. You may take their advice. You may soak up their wisdom. You may follow them like the children followed the Pied Piper, but you follow them to your destruction. He brings the counsel of the heathen to naught and maketh the devices of the people of none effect. But the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. His gospel, his truth, his word is true. He is the Almighty and the living God who sent his Son as a Saviour into this world to perform his eternal covenant in laying down his life for his people. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. He chose a people out of every generation in this world, every generation, to save them from their sins. You live today, 2,000 years after the coming of Christ, and the reason that this world still remains is because God has a people in this generation, your generation, whom he has set his love upon. A people for whom Christ suffered and died. A people whom Christ delivered from their sins. A people under whom God will speak through his gospel. A people whom he will bring unto life and to a knowledge of his righteousness. Have you heard his voice in the gospel? Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Have you heard his voice in the gospel? He spake and it was done. When we read of Christ in the gospels, we read of countless occasions when Christ spake and people were healed. When Christ spake and life entered into the dead. When Christ spake and a lame man walked. When Christ spake and the blind saw. When Christ spake and the deaf heard. When Christ spake and the dead lived. In Luke and chapter 4, in verse 31 we read, and Christ came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man, which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, and come out, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Now this unclean spirit within this man said unto Jesus, let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? He hated him, he rejected him, he wanted nothing of him. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. But the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. He spake, and it was done. Jesus rebuked him, hold thy peace. And come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this, for with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits. Time and again we read of similar accounts. Chapter 5 and verse 12 of Luke. It came to pass when Jesus was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Immediately the leprosy departed from him. Because Jesus willed to clean him. Jesus spake and he was cleansed. Later in the chapter, in verse 18, we read, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him into the room and to lay him before Christ. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Immediately. Time and again we read of Jesus speaking to those who were sick, and immediately they're healed. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And this man who couldn't walk, he had withered legs, unable to stand, stood up whole. Immediately he rose up before them. No wonder then the people were amazed and filled with fear. Immediately he spake and it was done. In chapter 7 of Luke, we read of a centurion who comes unto the Lord. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Here's a man who knows the power of God, and who knew who Christ was. And he knew that Christ could in a word just speak, and it would be done. Do you know anything of the faith of this centurion? He goes on to say, For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, Go, and he goeth. And to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marvelled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. This centurion knew what authority was. He spake to his servants, he spake to his soldiers, and they did what he told them. And he knew that if Jesus spake with such authority, if he spake, then his servant would be healed. Well, Jesus spoke, and it was done. He spake, and it was done. Time and again we read this testimony in the Gospels of Christ and his authority and his power. He spake, and it was done immediately. And sinner, if he should look upon you in the depths of your sin and iniquity, if he should look upon you in his rebellion and speak through his gospel to your soul, he only has to utter one word and immediately you will be whole. You who are so unrighteous, you who are such a rebel, you who care not for God, it only takes one word of the gospel from Christ's lips by his Spirit for you to immediately be made whole. For faith to enter the heart, for you to look unto a Saviour who's washed away your sin. It only takes one word for your eyes to be opened. And you who were once blind will look and see a Saviour whose blood washed away the sins of his people. Did his blood wash away your sin? Has he spoken unto you? Immediately, when he speaks, there is salvation, because he is a sovereign God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men, you included. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. What is he considering about you today? What is he seeing in your soul today? When he looks within you, when he looks into your heart, when he looks inside your head, what does he find? Does he find faith that falls down at his feet because one day he spoke, live, and you lived? Or will he find darkness and rebellion and death from a soul that says, not I? From a soul that trusts in his own strength. From a soul that says, I will stand. I can answer for myself. I've got power. I've got wisdom. I can figure it out. Or a soul that says, I'm good enough myself. If God should judge me, I've lived a good life. Well, here the psalmist's words, there is no king save by the multitude of an host. Doesn't matter how strong you are or how many you have on your side. Doesn't matter how many people in this world say, yes, you're right. Do that, go that way, you'll stand, you'll be fine. Doesn't matter how many there are of you that say there is no God. Doesn't matter how great your multitude is. There is a God. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. And if you're wrong with millions, you're wrong with millions. And if you're judged with millions, you're judged with millions. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. You need a saviour, because you cannot save yourself. You need righteousness. because you have none of your own. You need salvation because you are lost. But this God who calls forth praise, this God who speaks and it is done, is a saviour of his people. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. He delivers, he saves, he has saved the multitude. Has he saved? Will he save you? Or are your ears shut and your eyes closed and your heart far away? In what do you hope? In what do you trust? The counsel of this world? The counsel of the heathen? Or the counsel of the Lord which standeth forever? The psalmist's hope was in the Lord. The psalmist's faith looked unto a saviour who suffered for him. He says, with the righteous, with other sinners like him who were washed in the blood of Christ, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. He had hope in a saviour who delivered him from his sins. And he said, our. He spake with a people. And we speak with him when we say unto you, there is no hope in man. There is no hope in self. There is no hope in this world unless you're brought to the foot of the saviour, to the feet of Jesus Christ. There is hope in God alone. There is no hope in the counsel or the wisdom of this world. They will all lead to destruction. But if you wait on the Lord, if you hear his voice, if you have heard his voice speak and life has entered in, then you with the psalmist will find that this God, this mighty Saviour, is a shield and a help unto you. You will find your heart rejoices in him because you have trusted in his holy name. You will find that his mercy is upon you as you have hoped in him. Your hope and your faith will be rewarded. It will never be let down. And one day when you stand in the last day, you will stand before him and he will reward you and lead you into heaven's glory. And the wicked will be departed into outer darkness, but you will reign with him forevermore. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Did he speak? Has he spoken to you? He spake, and it was done.